Good morning. Today's daf and Moed Katan is Tesvav. We are on Yud Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Here we began the third parak of the Masechta yesterday. We talked about what happens when there is an intersection between between Chol HaMoed and other events. So the Mishnah itself spoke primarily about what happens when a person comes back on Chol HaMoed from a long trip or any other kind of ones, and whether or not he is allowed to get a haircut and do laundry. So the halacha is that under certain cases of ones, he is allowed to get a haircut and do laundry. And the Gemara spent yesterday discussing this, the basic halacha, that on Chol HaMoed, one is not allowed to do laundry and one is not allowed to get a haircut. But in the context of discussing, we also discussed what would be the status, what would be the story regarding an avel, and what happens when the avelus and Chol HaMoed intersect with one another. So under those circumstances, what gets pushed off for because of what? And the Gemara's conclusion yesterday was very clear that Moed, meaning both Yontav and Chol HaMoed, are going to push off avelus. The Gemara describes the Moed as being a mitzvah derabim, that is a public mitzvah. On the other hand, when it comes to avelus, that is a private individual. That is it's an essay de yachid. And so the Gemara says that the essay de rabbim is for sure going to push off the essay de yachid. We spent a good amount of time yesterday going over the Tosfos, top Tosfos on Yud Aleph Beis, where he discusses what exactly is the essay that the Gemara is describing in terms of Yantiv, and what's the essay as it relates to that of avelus. With that stated, the Gemara now wants to know that once we had a discussion regarding Avelus and that intersecting with Yantuf, so now the Gemara is going to turn its attention to Tzaras. So we're starting today with the word Mitzorah. It is found about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud, a little bit less than that. So, Mitzorah. So the Gemara now wants to know regarding the Mitzorah, Maush Yanik Tzaras Oberegel. So let's say he has Tzaras and now it's Yantuf. And so the two are intersecting. So are we going to, is the person able to simply ignore and waive all the Tzaras restrictions because of Yantav? So I'm Rabbi Tashma. So the Gemara is going to give a couple of proofs, or at least attempt to. Abai says, consider the following. In the Mishnah, it said the Nazir or the Mitzorah who is getting up from his Tumah to Tahara, meaning in the cases in the Mishnah, so one of the examples of Ones, is actually the Mitzorah. In other words, he was a Mitzorah, and he's concluding his Saras during Chol HaMoed. Habi Meitu Maso. So now, which is a simple way to read the Mishnah, is that until he concludes his Saras, so he's going to be knowing, he's going to be observing all the halachas of Saras during Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, Lomi Bai Kamer. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Lomi Bai Bi Meitu Maso De Lo Nahig. So the Gemara says, no, here's a valid way to read the Mishnah. And that would be that during the days of Tumah, where he's not going to be noeg, avalitaharaso nigzer shema yishar karbonosov. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah maybe is coming to teach us the following halacha, which is that I might have thought that as far as the halachas of taharas is concerned, meaning when he becomes tahor, so there might be a concern, or there at least might be a consideration for a concern that what he may end up doing is he may end up delaying. And what would be the problem if he delayed? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Nigzor, Shelo Yehe Megalech B'Moed, Dekeven Degiluch Sarach Lahavi Karban, V'Shem Amasher Karbanasav Ad L'Yom Tov Ha'achron, U'Makrim V'Asal Lakriv Karbanas Yachar B'Yom Tov. Because what may end up happening is that if in fact he concludes his Saras during Chol HaMoed, so he may end up bringing his Karban, now his Karban is a Karban Yachid, bringing it on Yom Tov. Now you are allowed to bring Karbanas on Yom Tov, but not a carbon yachid, not a private individual carbon, only carbon sebor, or carbonas that relate to yantif. Machlokas in the Mishnayos and Beitza between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but let's say it's simple. You could bring carbonas that are related to yantif, but you're not allowed to bring an individual or private carbon. So I might have thought that the Chachamim would make a gzera by the Mitzorah, in which if he concludes the Tzaras during Chol HaMoed, he may end up bringing his carbon on Yantav itself, which you're not allowed to do. That would have been the consideration. So Kamash Malan. And the whole point of our Mishnah is no. So in other words, right now we are still at least entertaining the idea that a mitzora is in fact does not have to observe all the nihugei tzara'as during Chol HaMoed. Amar Rav Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider the following, and that's a drasha. Vehatzarua l'rabbis kohen gadol. So when the Torah says the words vehatzarua, so that's a ribui, it's an extra word, it's a reference to the kohen gadol. Now a kohen gadol is in fact subject to tzaras, meaning that if the kohen gadol gets tzaras, so he'll be diagnosed and he'll have to observe all the halachas of tzaras. Now the Gemara over here makes a really interesting equation. So v'ha kohen gadol d'chol hashana k'regel l'kulei amadamei. As far as the status of the kohen gadol is concerned, he is similar, he's analogous to a yantar for the rest of us. And the Gemara says, how do we make such an equation? Didnan. So it's going to be based on a Mishnah. This Mishnah is tucked away in Horios. Kohen gadol makriv onein ve'ina ochel. A kohen gadol can bring a carbon in a state of aninus. If the kohen's an onein, meaning that he lost one of his seven relatives on the day of loss, so you have this halachic status of being an onein, and generally speaking, you cannot bring karbanos as an onein. In fact, we're going to be discussing this at the end of today's daf. And meanwhile, a kohen does bring as an onein, he's makriv onein ve'eino ochel. The only difference is he just simply doesn't eat the karban. So shma mina no itzarasa beregel. So if the kohen gadol, whose general status is going to be that of a yunta for the rest of us, and we learned that a kohen gadol can become a mitzora, so therefore we can derive that the nihugei tzaras would apply even during yantav. So shmamina. So the Gemara says good. So that would in fact be that in fact would be a good source. So the question now becomes, or was, if you become a mitzora during yantav, over the course of yantav, are you noheg tzaras? We know that the person's not noheg avelus. Are you noheg tzaras? Then the Gemara's answer is yes. You're going to be noheg tzaras. With that stated, we are continuing now in the Gemara on Yudal Amud Beis, and we're towards the bottom of the Amud. And now, for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to go through all the halachas of Avelus. And it's going to be, in terms of the framework and structure of the Gemara, it's actually pretty straightforward. When dealing with the halachas of an Avel, so there are 10 Isurim and 3 Chiyuvim. We're going to go through all 13 of them over the course of the daf. And so what we're going to be doing today is the following. We're going to go through all 13, the 10 prohibitions, the 3 obligations of an Avel. We're going to note over the course of today's daf that some of these observances are not observed nowadays. I'm going to at least attempt to give a reason why, but nevertheless, those are the 13. And then what the Gemara is going to do is ask every single time, any and all of these observances, are they transferable to Saras, meaning, as Rashi points out over here, we've been bundling the two topics together, Avelus and Saras. So are they applicable to Saras? That's question number one. And question number two, are they applicable to Nidui, somebody who is put in excommunication? Later in this paragraph, we're going to be talking in much more detail regarding Nidui, someone who's excommunicated. But meanwhile, the Gemara just simply wants to know that for any and all of these observances of a Avel, are they transferable to Saras and are they transferable to Nidui? That will be the remainder of today's daf. That will really be the totality of today's daf. And we begin. So remember the numbers. It's 10 Isurim, 3 Chiyuvim. Aval Asur B'Tasparis, we start with number 1. Number 1 is that an Aval is not allowed to get a haircut Midag Hamalei Rechman Levnei Aaron, because we know that the instructions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the sons of Aaron after the loss of Nadav and Avihu, where they're now Avelim Roshechem Al Tifra'u. So you are not allowed to cut your hair. You have to leave your hair uncut. Mechlal Dekoleyam Aser. So that means to say that others are going to be Aser as well. Now the fact that our Gemara quoted a Pasuk in the Torah that speaks to Halacha of Avelos, one would get the impression that the Halachas of Avelos are mid to Araisa. Now again, that is a point of major debate and dispute, in terms of whether or not the halachas of Avelos are mid araisa. So we touched on it already a little bit before. Anyway, one could easily suggest over here that the psukim that we're quoting is not specific for an avel. It could be that this is just an asmachta. Anyway, but the halacha is very clear. An avel is not allowed to get a haircut. Now, as we turn to Tezvavam and Aleph, the Gemara wants to know, Menunin umitzura'in, Mahim b'tasparos, what about this halacha when it comes to someone excommunicated? someone who is a mitzvah tashma. The Gemara seeks a proof. So minu dinu mitzvah nasr l'sapir l'chabes. That if somebody is excommunicated or a mitzvah, so not allowed to get a haircut, not allowed to do laundry. Minu de shemes. And let's say somebody who was excommunicated and died in his excommunication, meaning he did not do tshuva, he did not seek any type of reconciliation. So based in Soklin and Sarono. So based in, we'll stone his coffin. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lo Shi'amidu Alav Galavanim Kegalo Shel Achan. It's not a heap. It's not a pile of stones. Ela based in Shochanu Menichin Evan Gedola Al Arono. It's one large stone. And his Aron Lam Decha Shekol Misnada Umeis Beniduyav based in Soklin Es Arono. It's just simply a message. It's a way of communicating that he died in his state of Nidui, and there was no reconciliation. Okay, so to that, the Gemara has a really clear conclusion in that both a Menuda and a Mitzara cannot get a haircut, nor are they allowed to do kibbutz, or are they allowed to do laundry. Okay, continuing. Aval chai b'atifas harosh. So now, we are going to be discussing Atifas HaRosh. Atifas HaRosh is one of the three. So as we already pointed out, there are 10 Yisurim, there are 3 Chiyuvim. So one of the Chiyuvim is Atifas HaRosh, which literally translates as you got to wrap up your head. In other words, you have to not only cover your head, but you have to wrap it up. So Midikam Alei Rechman Alei Yecheskel. So many of these halachas are going to be learned from a pasuk in Yecheskel. In the 24th parak of Yecheskel, so Yechezkel was told to observe Avelus, not because he was an Ava, but rather as a Mashal, just simply as a way of communicating. There are times where a Navi is asked to do something, basically in order to communicate a message or an idea, not just through the words, but also through actions as well. So here in this 24th paragraph of Yechezkel, so Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Yechezkel instructions in terms of observance of Avelus. If you take a look at the pesukim inside, I'm just going to be reading from the pasuk before we go on in the Gemara. So ha'aneg dom meisim avel lo sa'ase perecha chavush alecha una'achal tasim baraglecha v'lo sa'ate al safam v'lechem anashim lo sochel. Okay, so in his observance of Avelus, so the instructions are that he is going to be running counter to your normal Avelus, meaning your normal Avelus will have a certain set of expectations. And what Akash Baruch Hu instructed Yechezkel to do is to basically not follow what is normally observed for Avelus, but to run counter to what is normal to Avelus. Okay, now admittedly, this part is going to be the difficult part, which is that some of the pasuk is meant to be understood that these are the normal observances of Avelus, and some of the pasuk is meant to be understood that Yechezkel, you are to run counter to what is normal. You are to run counterculture to what is normal Avelus. And yes, it becomes a challenge, and the Rishonim are already bothered by this. Which part of the pasuk is for normal Avelus, and which part is Yechezkel expected to run counter to? Okay, Tosus already over here is already sensitive to this problem. You can see the Tosus Divrei Maskil Asur B'Shel Shalom, where Tosus raises the issue. He gives an approach. Actually, I'll share the approach a little bit later on. Anyway, that's the basic idea. So we now turn to the Gemara, asking the question of Atifas HaRosh when it comes to an Avel. So does he have to cover his head? So since HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yechezkel, V'lo sa'ate al safam, you Yechezkel are not allowed to cover your head. So that means that generally speaking, a person is obligated. So an Avel is in fact obligated to cover his head. It's what's called Atifas HaRosh. As I mentioned at the beginning of Shir today, now is a good time to reintroduce it. So most of the Nihugim of Avelos apply to nowadays, which one would expect. So there are a couple. This is one of the two where it's not done nowadays. In other words, an Avel nowadays does not cover his head. In other words, not the way the Gemara is expecting, the Gemara is describing it. The Gemara is describing it in which basically your whole head gets covered. Right, you wrap your whole head up, including part of your face, right, up to the top of your lip. So this is not done bizman hazeh. Okay, already it's brought down, and the Rama brings down nowadays that it's not done nowadays. Why is it not done nowadays? So again, as I pointed out, so a couple of the Nihuge Avelos kind of just went into disuse. Certainly you can try to give some suggestions in terms of why it is. Okay, but right now the minhag is that this one is not observed nowadays. Okay, now we go back to the Gemara. Sorry for a lack of explanation. We go back to the Gemara over here, and the Gemara is going to do what the Gemara is going to be doing over the entire daf. Is this halacha also going to be true by nidui and by tzaras as well? So menuda mahu ba'atifas arosh. So as far as nidui, so is he going to be subject to this halacha of wrapping up the head? Amar Rav Yosef Tashma, v'hein mesatvim v'yoshim kemenudim uche avelim. Okay, so if you remember back in Masechta Tanis, we described after having gone through all 13 of the public fast days, so we say now that the Talmid Chachamim, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not respond after the 13 fast days, so Talmid Chachamim are going to be mit atef. They're going to wrap their heads up. Ad shirachmu aleim and hashamayim, until Rachmanis comes from up above. So Amalei Abayidam Aminud L'Shamayim Shani. So the Gemara says, wait one second. That is talking about the Jewish people being excommunicated. But that's Aminud L'Shamayim. And maybe the Chamer. It could very well be that in such a situation, yes, there's going to be Atifa, but that's just simply because that's a different type of Nidui. We're inquiring regarding Nidui where a person is excommunicated by Beis Din. Again, because of contempt, because of general rebellious nature, there are a number of reasons why someone's going to be excommunicated, and we're going to see more of that later in our parak. But meanwhile, the source in which you're citing from is talking about Menudah L'Shamayim, where the Nidui, the excommunication is coming from heaven. Yeah, Gemara says it may not be comparable. Okay, continuing. Mitzora Mao Batifas Rosh, same question regarding Mitzora. What is the story regarding Mitzora and Atifas Rosh? So Tashma. The Al Safam Ya'ate Mechla Shechai Batifas Rosh Mamina. So by Mitzora we have a fairish pasuk in the Torah, and nothing more to discuss. Aval Asur Lanich Tfilin. Okay, we are now going to be dealing with another Isser, and that is the wearing of Tfilin. And Aval is not allowed to wear Tfilin. So, here the pasuk in Yecheskel that you must be wearing tefillin. The pe'er is the reference to the tefillin. That's the crown. So, mechlal dekul ama aser, which means that, generally speaking, it's aser. Again, the Gemara's assumption over here is that this particular instruction to Yecheskel is in fact something which runs counter to what an avos is supposed to do. An avos not supposed to put on tefillin, and meanwhile, Yecheskel was in fact instructed to put on tefillin. Fine. Menuda, the Gemara continues that when it comes to nidui ma'u b'tefillin, so should he put on tefillin teku? This question is unresolved. Mitzora ma'u b'tefillin, should the mitzora wear tefillin? So tashma v'hatzaru l'rabbis kohen gadol. So we are going to be quoting a brisa. The first part of the brisa we already learned earlier this morning. The hatzaru is a reference to the kohen gadol because of you prumim. Shehu mikurayim, he has to have his clothing being torn, and virosha yeparua, and his head has to be uncovered. Ein priya elagidol sear. Now, as far as the priya is concerned, that means you have to leave your hair uncut. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Kiva Omer, nemra havaya virosha, nemra havaya bebeged. No, it has the word havaya as it relates to the head, as well as the clothing. Meaning havaya over here, the word yihya. So. Just like the clothing is something which is external to his body, so too, when we're talking about the head, it's not talking about the hair. The hair is part of the body. It has to be something which is separate from the body. My love at tefillin. So presumably, it's of course talking about the tefillin. So Amara Papa Lo, Akumta Besudra. Not necessarily. It's not talking about tefillin, meaning it is talking about something that he's wearing, but not necessarily tefillin. It could be a hat. Or something that he wears on his head. Okay. So, that is our next, instruction. In this case, Isser, as it relates to an Avel. Next. Avel Asur B'Sheila Shalom. The Avel is not allowed to greet others. Dekamele Rachman Li Yecheskel Hanegdom. So, in here, Kadosh Baruch Hu's instructions to Yecheskel is that you have to be silent. You cannot greet other people. Okay, and here it is, meaning this is now where The Gemara is understanding that this part of the pasuk is not where Yechezkel is supposed to be running counter to an avel, but rather what he's supposed to do is he's supposed to behave like an avel. So again, as I already pointed out, the Rishonim are already bothered by the fact that some of the psukim over here by Yechezkel is where the expectation is Yechezkel is to run counter, and sometimes he's supposed to conform. Well, which one is it, counter or conform? So Tosus over here, the Tosus in a couple places in Shas discusses. Tosus right here discusses this very point. Look at the fourth Tosus on the Amud. Demashma shtika mishe'ila shalom. So the pasuk indicates that quiet means that you're not allowed to greet others. Umi talmud Torah nami mashma besamach mehanegdom. And later we're going to be talking about the Isra of learning Torah, also derived from the pasuk of hanegdom. Now, Yechezkel observed Avelos in terms of this particular halacha, where he was quiet. And meanwhile, in other areas, he did not observe Avelos. Again, he ran counter. So the way Tosus presents it over here is that, look, if he totally ran counter to all of the halachas of Avelos, so then he would not become an object lesson. Meaning the whole idea is that Yechezkel was showing the people that we are going to be going into the state of Avelos, and we can't even mourn properly. By the way, I didn't point this out earlier. In other words, the lesson that he was trying to communicate to the others is that we're going to be in Avelos over the Churban Beis HaMikdash if in fact we don't change our ways. That was the basic idea. And what he was trying to demonstrate is that we're going to become an avel, but we won't even be able to show avelos. What Tosus writes over here is that if Yechezkel, when modeling avelos to others, if he doesn't demonstrate some form of avelos, so then no one's going to understand that he's an avel altogether. So in certain ways, he has to observe some form of avelos, and then by him going ahead and running counter to the general practices of avelos, so now he's able to show the people that we're going to be an avel, but we're not going to be able to properly mourn. Okay. Anyway, that's how Tosus understands it. There's a Tosus in Ksuvos and Davav, which discusses this in more detail. Anyway, we continue in the Gemara. So again, I'm going to reset over here. Avel asur b'sheila shalom. Dekamalei rachman le'yecheskel hanegdom. So the instructions were to Yechezkel that you have to be quiet, meaning that you're not allowed to greet others. So from there, we get the general halacha that an avel is, in fact, not allowed to greet others. Menuda, ma b'sheila shalom. And again, the Gemara is going to do this every single time. What about this practice as it relates to someone excommunicated? What about somebody who is a mitzora? So I'm Rav Yosef, so right now we're asking the question of nidui. So, tashma b'sheila shalom shebein adam l'chavero, kivnei adam anezufim l'makom. Once again, we go back to the Mishnah and Tanis, describing the practices of the Talmidei Chachamim. They are like someone who's excommunicated. So the Gemara says, okay, that's fine, but that doesn't answer our question. We're talking about someone who was excommunicated by a Beis Din. That is talking about a group of people, meaning the Jewish people are excommunicated by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not the same. Mitzora ma'u b'sheila shalom. What about a Mitzora? So Tashma ve'al safam ye'atesh yusif sifu Sif sosav midubako zuba zeshiyekimunuda ucha avel v'asr b'she'ela shalom. Shema mina. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we have over here is a brisa. The brisa says it really clearly, that when he takes the head covering, he wraps up his head, so it goes all the way to the mouth, and that means the mouth should be closed as well. And he's not allowed to greet other people. Now the Gemara says, now if you read that brisa carefully, which we just read it, we didn't read it super carefully, but if you read it carefully, v'nifsha minei l'menuda. In the brisa itself, it says that he's going to be like a menuda, like an avo. He, meaning the mitzora, is going to be like a menuda and like an avo. So the Gemara says, okay, so if we're saying that the mitzora is going to be like a menuda and like an avo, so back up just one step, meaning we ask the question whether or not a menuda is allowed to greet others. So the Gemara says, so why don't we learn it from there? V'nifsha minei l'menuda. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha Bar Pinchas Mishmei de Rav Yosef Miktani She'asor. No, that's not how to read the brisa. The brisa doesn't say that every prohibition is the same. Rather, the brisa says, "Shehei kimnuda ka'avel ketani b'milech renaisa." It means that the general approach to tzaras is that generally it's like nidui. Generally it's like aval. However, v'asar nami b'shel shalom. But it could very well be that in addition to that, the mitzvah is also going to be asar in shel shalom. But that doesn't necessarily mean that every halacha is going to be the same for all three of them. Okay. Aval asar b'divrei Torah. Midakam rachman liyecheskel dom. So good. So we already alluded to this earlier, but now the Gemara here speaks about this iser, and that is the iser of learning Torah. And Avil is not allowed to learn Torah. The Pasuk says dom. The Gemara's assumption over here is that Torah by definition has to be articulated. It needs to be spoken out loud. And so therefore, by Akash Baruch Hu giving instruction to Yecheskel that he must remain quiet, not only is there an iser of greeting others, which we discussed earlier, but there's also an iser of learning Torah. So menu damau b'divrei Torah. What about someone excommunicated? I'm Rav Yosef Tashma. Menu d'ashon v'shon lo. So he could teach. Others could teach him. Niskar v'niskar lo. He could be hired by others. He can hire others. Muchram lo shon v'lo shon lo. Now somebody who is in super nidui, right? And Rashi over here points out. We're going to see this in tomorrow's daf. Someone who's in Chayrim is even in a higher degree of excommunication. We'll talk more about this in tomorrow's daf. So, lo shonen v'lo shonen lo, lo niska v'lo niskar v'lo. Because he's in super excommunication, so therefore he can't learn, he can't learn with others, nor can he be hired by others. Avashonu hu la'atzmo, shelo yafsik es limudo. He can learn by himself. V'osa lo chanus ketana b'shvel parnasasa. And you could set up a small store for him. The Amar Rav Zvanemaya Bepakta Da Ravos. He could sell water. The way Rashi understands it is that Pakta over here is the name of a marketplace. Bepakta Da Ravos. Anyway. Shmamina. What comes out over here is that if you're in Nidua, you are in fact allowed to learn Torah. Mitzora Mao Bedivri Torah. How about somebody who's a Saras? So Tashma, the Gemara says that for that we also have a Brisa. It's very clear in the Brisa. So, the first time that we learned Torah formally was at Har Sinai. So, the mountain shaking, the smoke, the sounds, it was in a state of awe. So that means to say that somebody is in a state of tuma in general, and the Gemara over here gives a number of examples of people who are in a state of tuma. Admittedly, the one that's a little bit strange over here is the bol nida, for reasons which you'll understand why in just a moment. But anyway, if you're tame, you can learn Torah, because you have to be in a certain state of awe and reverence when learning Torah. It's okay. In other words, if you're Tamei in general, you could be in that state of awe and reverence. However, Bali Kriyan, Asurin, but if a man's a Balkari, which means that he had an emission, a discharge, which means that what got him to that point is not a state of seriousness and awe, but rather a state of frivolity. So as a result of that, he's not in a position where he can learn Torah because he does not have the right state of mind. Anyway, what comes out over here is that if you're a Mitzori, you're allowed to learn Torah, Shema Minah. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's clear over here that the Mitzvah could learn Torah. Now, it's interesting because in the list of people who are allowed to learn Torah, so including that is a Bol Nida. Now, that's a little bit strange because a Bol Nida is somebody who ostensibly was in a lightheaded state and not in the serious state that's necessary for Torah. Okay, Tosos also addresses that over here as well. We're going to go on. Avil Aser B'Tachboses. We're now on another Isser for an Avil, and he can't do laundry. Dechzeh Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa, Vayikach Misham Isha Chachma, Vayomar La Itabli Nal Livshina Bigdei Evel, Ve'al Tasuchi Shemen, Ve'ayisek Isha Zeh Yamim Rabim, Mit Abeles Al Meis. So over here, we're looking at the instructions that Yoav gives to a woman. Now, this woman is going to go over to David HaMelech, and the background story over here in terms of why Yoav is sending a woman to David HaMelech, so it's involved. It is in the aftermath of Amnon having violated Tamar, of Shalom having killed Amnon. It's an involved story. Anyway, what Yoav was trying to do was trying to make some sort of a reconciliation between Avshalom and David. And in doing so, he sent this woman over to behave like an avel in front of David HaMelech. Okay, that's whatever. See the 13th and 14th prakim of Shmuel Beis for much more expansive detail of all the behind the scenes. Anyway, what we're interested in over here is that v'liv shina b'gdei avel, is that she was told that she has to wear the clothing of an avel, and v'al tasuchi shemen. So, and you're not allowed to anoint yourself, which we're going to come back to in just a moment. Anyway, so you can't do laundry. So it's clear in the psukim over here. So, menudu mitzora mao b'tachboses. Again, same question now regarding someone who is excommunicated, someone who's a mitzora tashma, menudu mitzora nasum l'sapir l'chabesh shma meina. But the Gemara says, but we have a brisa that we learned earlier. We know the answer to that. They can't do laundry. Avo chai b'kriyam. Okay, so here is an obligation. Again, remember, 10 isurim, 3 obligations. So here we are now with an obligation. This is going to be our second obligation. So that is that they have to tear the clothing. So dekamale rachman levnei Aaron lo tiframu. So the instructions that Akash Baruch Hu gave to Bnei Aaron after the loss of Nadav v'Avihu is that they're not allowed to tear the clothing. Mechlad dekulei ama mechayve. So that means, generally speaking, that you're obligated. So menuda mal b'kriya, teku. How about someone excommunicated? Does he need to tear his clothing? Unresolved. Mitzara mal b'kriya. What about a mitzara tashma? B'gadav yu frumim shiyu mikuraim shma minam. Okay, so it's a pasuk in the Torah that is very clear. We are on the very bottom of Tesvav Amud Aleph, Avachai b'kfiya samita. And here we are now with our third obligation of an avel, and that is that he has to take his bed and overturn his bed. So again, as I mentioned already at the beginning of Shir today, so there are two of the practices of Avelis that have just basically gone into disuse. So one of them is Atifas HaRosh, which we spoke about earlier, and the second one is over here, this idea of turning the bed over. Now, the turning of the bed over is that since mourning the loss of the Tzelem Elokim, the bed represents Tzelem Elokim, either because that's where the person was conceived, or because the bed is actually molded and formed into the image of a person as he lies down in it, however you want to say it. So the bed represents Tzelem Elokim, and because there's a loss of Tzelem Elokim, so therefore you turn the beds over. So that was the practice back in the day. So once again, this practice is not practiced nowadays. Again, there are a number of explanations why, but we're just right now learning the Gemara, we're learning about the obligation. So Avachai b'kfiya samita, didni bar kapara. So, and this is going to be based on a brisa of bar kaparas. We now turn to the top of Tesvav Amud Aleph. Demus deyukne nasati behem. So I gave you the image of a man. Uva avonosechem hafachtia, and because of your sin, it was overturned. Meaning, basically, you lost Tzelem Elokim. So kafu mitosem aleha. So what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to overturn the beds. Again, it has to do with the loss of a Tzelem Elokim. In fact, the word diukne is a composite. It's a compact word. It comes from two words. Number one, diu, which is second. And the word kan, actually, some suggest that it comes from the word like icon. Like, in other words, we are made in the image of Akash Baruch Hu. That's diu kan, diukne. So anyway, as a result of the loss of the Tzelem Elokim, so therefore the beds are overturned. So menuda o mitzora mayim b'kfiya samita. So once again, what about a menuda? What about a mitzora? So take it, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Aval asur basyas malacha. Okay, we're back to the Isurim. So we already covered now the three obligations of an avel. Again, the question was, are these obligations also translatable, transferable to someone excommunicated, someone mitzora? And now we're back to the Isurim. By the end of today, we're going to be covering 10 in total. So now, Aval Asur Basias Malacha, what about doing work? There's an Isur for Aval to do work. D'chsiv ha'afachti chagechem le'evo. So I'm going to take your chag and I'm going to convert it into an avel. So ma chag asur b'malacha, aval asur b'malacha. So just like you're not allowed to work during Yantav, you're also not allowed to work as an Ava. Menuda ma'u ba'asiyas malacha. As far as Nidu is concerned, so Amr Rav Yosef, Tashma, Kishamru asur ba'asiyas malacha, lo Amr ala b'yom. So yes, it's true that you're we're talking about a Tanit Sibur, so they're not allowed to work, but that's only during the day. But they're allowed to work at night. Same thing is true regarding Nidu in Avel. So my lava kulo, now seemingly it's going on all the halachas. Lo ashara. No, it's going on other practices, not necessarily that of malacha. Tashma menuda shon v'shon lo niskar v'niskar lo shma mina. Okay, so the Gemara says, but we're going to go back to a brisa that we cited earlier this morning, and that is that you can hire somebody who was excommunicated. Okay, so he can work. So mitzora ma'ubas yes malacha teku. And as far as the mitzora is concerned, we're going to leave that question unresolved. Aval aser berchitza. We're up to the bathing now. Another iser, and then an aval is not allowed to bathe. Yechseva al tasuchi shemen. So this is now by the woman who was hired by Yoav to go to David HaMelech. So al tasuchi shemen. So berchitza bechal sicha. So included in rubbing oil into your skin is also going to be bathing as well. So menuda ma'u berechitza was someone who was excommunicated. Zila to bathe. Amar Rav Yosef tashma. So the Gemara says, well, here's the following, a proof. Kishamru asa berechitza. Lo amru ela kol gufo. That's only talking about the entire body. Aval panav yadav raglav mutar. But you're allowed to wash your hands, feet, and face. V'chein atamotze b'menuda v'avel. Same thing is true regarding nidu in avel as well. So my lava kula lo ashara. Is it's going on everything? No, the Gemara says, no, it's only going on the other halachas. Meaning that yes, there's a general comparison between them, but not for every particular halacha. Mitzora mahu berechitza. What about a mitzora? Can he bathe? So teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Aval aser b'ni'ilas sandal. We're now talking about wearing shoes, wearing leather shoes. So once again, here we're going back to the pasuk in Yecheskel in the 24th parak of Yecheskel. So it says that that he was instructed that he has to wear shoes, meaning he has to be running counter to what is normal for avelos. So mechlad de kulayama also, that means that everyone else is going to be also menuda ma'u benila sasando. What about somebody excommunicated? So amr Rav Yosef tashma kishamru also benila sasando lo amru ella be'ir. That's only when you're in the city. Aval baderech muter, but if you're traveling, you're allowed to wear shoes. Ha ketzad. So yatzal aderech noel nichnas le'ir choleitz v'chein atamotze ben menuda uve avel. Same thing is true regarding niduin avel as well. So my lav akulu lo lav asha'ara. So already we know where the Gemara is going to ask and end up rejecting. So presumably the brisa means that the wearing of shoes is going as well, is going to be equivalent by a avel, as is by a nidui, as is by a mitzora. So the Gemara says, lo shara, it's going on the others as well. Mitzora mao benila sasandal teku. What about a mitzora? Is he allowed to wear leather shoes? The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Aval also betashma shamita. We're almost finished. The prohibition of marital relations. David. So after they lost their child, David and Batsheva. So after Avelus, only then was he with her. Mechlal de mikara aser, which means that during Avelus they were aser b'tashmi shamita. Menuda ma b'tashmi shamita. What about somebody who is a nidui? So Amar Rav Yosef tashma kol osan shanim shayu yisrael b'midbar minudin hayu. Well, they were in nidui, they were excommunicated. And we know that they had tashmi shamita. How do we know they had tashmi shamita? And the answer actually is very simple. Because there was procreation, meaning there was an increase in population. Okay, so there was tashmi shamita. So the Gemara says, well, that's not the kind of nidui that we're discussing right now. We're discussing somebody who was placed in nidui by another person or by a beis din. But over in the midbar, so they were placed in excommunication by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's very different. Now, it's interesting over here because previously we also made this argument and we suggested earlier that it's, as a result of that, it's more chamor. Now what we're suggesting is that because the nidu is coming from Shamayim, maybe it's more kal. The Gemara is bothered exactly by this question. Kill v'hamar chamor. Wait one second. You're now arguing that it should be more lenient. But didn't you argue, and by the way, you over here meaning Abaye, didn't you argue that earlier we should be more chamor? So the Gemara says, Sufuki mesafkele zilhacha kamatchele vizilhacha kamatchele. So the Gemara says, well, Abaye is making just basically the point that it's not the same. Meaning our question is regarding nidui, and the answer that was given was regarding the Dor HaMidbar, who were excommunicated, but we don't know whether it could be more chamor or it could be more kal. and you just simply can't bring a proof from there, and I'll just push you off in either direction. Mitzora ma'o b'tashmei shamita, what about a mitzora? Can he engage in tashmei shamita? Now, if you remember the Gemara that we did earlier, seemingly we already discussed this question earlier in the Masechta we did, by the way, and seemingly the Gemara already responded to this question, resolved this question earlier. So it happens to be, Tosfos points this out. So, well, first let me go through the Gemara and then we'll go back to Tosfos. So the, Mitzora ma'o v'tash mishamita, tashma detanya v'yashav michutz le'ohalo. So he's going to be outside of his tent. Shehei kemenuda u'cha'aval v'asur b'tash mishamita. V'ein o'alo el ishto. The o'al is a reference to his wife. Shenemar lech amar amor lahem shuv lachem le'ohalechem. We see that after Ma'amad Har Sinai, so they were allowed to be back together with their wife, Shmamina. So you see over here that a mitzara is not allowed to be with his wife. So v'nifsho nami l'menuda, so the Gemara says, let's extend that to Nidua as well. So Amar Avuna b'reid Rav Pinchas mishmei Rav Yosef, mikitani sha'asar, shehei k'menuda ha'aval. Again, it's the same point that we made already numerous times this morning, that there's a general comparison between the three. But it could very well be that the Mitzorah has an additional Isser, meaning that not every halach is going to be equivalent between these three groupings, these three people. And so it could very well be that the Tashmei Shemitah is only specific to that of a Mitzorah and not necessarily by that who is the person who is excommunicated. Our Gemara's conclusion over here is very clearly that the Mitzorah is not allowed to be with his wife. Now, if it's a little bit troubling, because earlier in the Masechta we talked about how Mitzora Mukhlad is allowed to be with his wife, so Tosos over here raises that. You can see the short Tosos, V'yashav michutz la'olah, perish, b'mei sifro. So Tosos over here says that we're talking about during his Sfira, meaning as he's counting to go from being a Mitzora to a non-Mitzora, meaning the 7 days of Taharas HaMitzora, that's where it is going to be Aser. However, v'mei chiluto, pligi bala'el. Tosfos reminds us that we learned earlier in the Masechta that while he is a Mitzora, meaning not going from, not during the period of Tahara, but rather just while he's a Mitzora, so we debated earlier, Ki agavna amrinan aval asal anich tefillin, velo b'chol yimei evlo kaminan, ela yom rishon bavar v'sheni kidele kaman. And the fact of the matter is that, yes, it's true, that we're only talking about a segment, a portion of his period of Tzaras. But Tosho says, but that's fine. Because earlier in the daf today, we said that an Aval is not allowed to wear tefillin. I didn't make this point earlier, but now is a good time to do so. As Tosho's over here reminds us, that's only for day number one. Our Gemara here is, today's daf was not clear about that point. We will be clear about that point. The Isser of tefillin for an Aval is only for day one. And so even though our Gemara over here says that an Aval is not allowed to wear tefillin, it's only for one day. So Tosfos points out, so it's not strange over here that we say that the Mitzorah is Aser B'Tashmei Shemitah. It's not talking about the entire duration of his Tzaras, only a certain segment of his period of Tzaras is he going to be prohibited in Tashmei Shemitah. Okay. We're continuing. Aval Eino Mishaleach Karbonosav. And now as we draw a conclusion to these halachas, so an aval is not allowed to send karbonos. Did Tanya? Rabbi Shimon Omer shalem bismanchu shalem. So when is a person bringing karbon shalem? When he is shalem. What does that mean? When he is shalem, Rashi writes over here, bedato shedato miyushevas alav. In other words, he has to be settled in his mind. And when a person is an aval, so he's simply not settled. So shlamin shivizmanshu ishiu shalem. Avalobizmanshu onain. Now it's true that the Gemara over here describes aninus, and aninus and avelus are not the same. Aninus is from the period of death to the point of burial, and avelus is from the point of burial for the next 7 days, including the day of burial. So, but as far as the sending of carbon is concerned, so it's going to be equivalent. It's going to be the same basic point. Below is manshu onein. Menu damau sheishlach karbonosav. Somebody who is in nidui, can he send a carbon? I'm Rav Yosef Tashmako osam shanim shayu Yisrael beMidbar. Menu din hayu vishilchu karbonoseim. So once again, we're turning to Dora Midbar. They were excommunicated, and yet they brought carbonos. So Amalei Abai v'dilma menu del shamayim shani dekil. So once again, we know what Abai is going to say. That's different. That's menuda l'shamayim. Maybe they were more lenient. Kil v'amar chamor. And again, the Gemara asked the same question that we asked earlier. Sefuki misafkele u'matchele. So the Gemara over here says what we said earlier. He doesn't know, meaning it could be that it's more mekel, it could be more machmir. It just simply means that we can't use the Dora Midbar as a proof for somebody who was excommunicated by Beis Din. Mitzora ma'ashi yishlach karbonosav. Our last question for today. A mitzora, can he send karbonos? Obviously, we're not talking about the karbonos that he's required to bring. We're just talking about in general and during his status of being a mitzvah, can he send a karban? So tashma, now when the Gemara over here uses the term sending a karban, because obviously he's unable to be in the Beis HaMikdash himself. So detanya v'acharei taraso, achar prishaso min ha-meis. So shivas yamim yisperu lo. So over here, it's a little bit detailed. The Gemara is quoting a series of pasuks from Yechezkel, but this is later in the Navi. This is already in the 44th chapter of Yechezkel. Anyway, the Gemara's understanding over here is that there are two types of tuma that the Kohen is experiencing. So v'acharei taraso. So a Kohen who becomes tameh and is going through his yamei tahara, achar prishasu min ha-meis. And that means to say that he came into contact with a mace. Shivas yamim yusperu lo. And then it talks about counting. So elu shivas yamei sfiro. So that means that he was a mitzora, meaning that he's a tamei mace and he's a mitzora. And Rashi over here goes through that we know that's talking about not just tumas mace, because sfiro, counting, is much more connected to mitzora. Uviyom ba'u ala kodesh ala chatzir penimus l'sharis b'kasho yakriv chatzaso. And then he goes ahead and he brings his karban. Zu asiris ha'efa shalom. That's a reference to the asiris ha'efa, which a Kohen brings at the first time that he's offering a karban. Div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Omer Yakriv, Bizman she'ra'i levia ra'i la'krava, Bizman she'in ra'i levia eino ra'i la'krava. Only when the Kohen is allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash can he offer a karban. If he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, he can't offer a karban. As a mitzora, he's not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. He's not even allowed to go into Yerushalayim. So therefore, he's not allowed to bring a karban. The Gemara is answering the question based on the position of Rabbi Shimon. Ad Khan takes us to the end of not only the daf, we're in the top of Tezayin Amud Aleph. And what the Gemara now has given us is sources for 13 halachas in total. Quick recap. Before we get to the recap of all the practices, we started today on Yigdal Amud Beis. So the first thing that we touched on is what happens when there is an intersection between somebody who is a mitzora and yontif. So when the two go, when the two collide with one another. So is he going to be observing his nihug etzaras during yontif? And the Gemara's answer was yes. The Gemara brought in a couple of proofs. The Gemara's answer was yes. That's where we started. And then from that point going forward, so for the remainder of today's daf, we went over 13 practices of avelus. There are 10 of them which are isurim, 3 of them which are chiyuvim, and we know by an avel, we know exactly where we stand on all 13 of these, and then it just is a question of whether or not these halachas are going to extend to someone who is excommunicated and someone who is a mitzora. As far as the isurim are concerned, so we went over the isurim of tasparus, cutting their hair, tefillin, she'ela shalom, limud ha-Torah, kibus, malacha, rechitza, ni'ilas ha-sandal, tashmish ha-mita, and hashlachas karbanosav. So those are the 10 isurim that relate to an avel. The Gemara cites sources for all of them. Some come from the Torah, many come from that pasuk in Sefer Yechezkel. Others come from a psukim in Shmuel Beis regarding the woman that was sent by Yoav. Anyway, so those are 10 isurim. What about the 3 chiyuvim? So atifas arosh, the wrapping of the head, kriyas abigadim, the tearing of your clothing, and kfiyas amita, the turning over of the bed. Interesting, as we already pointed out, that of the 3 obligations, so 2 of them are not practiced today. Again, a lot of attempted explanations in terms of why. But anyway, 10 isurim, 3 chiyuvim, that is today's daf.